Jaden, NVIDIA had their rock star-like event about a week ago now. I think they were saying that when this first happened, however many years ago, they had like, 1,000 people. Now it looks really like a rock concert. People are taking selfies of themselves there. Jensen Huang comes out dressed like Jensen Huang, all in black. And next thing you know, we're hearing words like Blackwell, and we're hearing words like Groot, and we're seeing graphs where it seems to like spike, like blowing Moore's law out of the water. What have you seen about Blackwell and about the future of the chips with NVIDIA right now?
Okay, well, I think the big thing that everyone's like super excited about is the new chip they just announced, which is of course the Blackwell B200. So, for the last year, everyone's been trying to get their hands on all of the NVIDIA H100 chips. This is kind of the new thing you're going to want to get your hands on because they've done some new benchmarking on this new chip, and it's phenomenal. It uses less power and it's just a lot more powerful. So what they've said is that training a 1.8 trillion parameter model used to use about 8,000 GPUs and 15 megawatts of power. Now they can do it with the new Blackwell GPUs. They can do it with only 2,000 GPUs instead of 8,000. And they can do all of that with just 4 megawatts of power instead of 15. So way more, energy efficient and also way more powerful. These things are absolutely incredible. But they are not cheap. So if you want to know how much this is going to set you back, if you want to get your hands on one of these new chips, it's going to be, I think the initial price range is anywhere between 30 and 40,000 for one of these chips. So I don't know. What are your thoughts on this? What do you think the implications are?
Yeah, it's funny because I think everybody's like super excited about the new chips and Blackwell and everything like that. And you're right, they're going to be super expensive. This is where I'm sort of getting sort of trying to figure out where we're going with all this, right, Jaden? Because like on one hand, you kind of hear, okay, so the companies that are really, really doing this well, and the reason why it's so hard for other LLMs to compete is that these chips themselves are at a premium. I mean, if you want to know sort of like why NVIDIA, why their stock price has absolutely gone to the moon, it's because they're creating something that everybody wants and that people literally can't get their hands on. I mean, I remember when GPT-4 first came out and they were saying, oh, we're going to do vision, all that kind of stuff. And then that didn't come out for everybody. Everybody's like, well, what's happening? And it's because they literally couldn't get their hands on the H100s or whatever it is. So I'm wondering sort of like with these Blackwell chips, if these can start to scale in a new way. I'm really curious myself about like the production of them and things like that. Because like right now, if it almost like reminds me of like when calculators were like the size of a gymnasium and things like that. Like I wonder if people are going to need these organizations like like your OpenAIs and like your Googles and Inflections and everybody else are going to need fewer of these extremely powerful chips. And I think that is where Jensen Huang's head is at right around this. So I was just like looking at some of the opening things from the GTC, which were things like, from before when he was talking about this, he was like, oh, for nearly 4 decades, Moore's Law has been governing dynamic of the computer industry. People like this is what I'm talking about with these charts, right? And we're sort of like more of an audio format here. But the hockey stick is getting even hockey stickier, right? It's going like way, way up. And I'm just wondering, is this going to propel the compute for it and everything else? But Jaden, I think what you were talking about is almost the much more interesting thing, which is about the efficiency and the sort of like the environmental impact and everything. I think what we have not really focused in on as consumers is just how expensive all these models are. We're all sitting here and being like, oh, this is so dumb. I asked it this and it gave me this answer without really understanding the billions of dollars that this can take to not just, I mean, obviously, like, I'm not just talking about training one model with billions of dollars, but just the amount of compute and the expense and the impact on the environment and the impact around energy and energy consumption and everything else. So I'm wondering, when you see all this, do you think, and just kind of instinctively, oh, wow, like the leaders in this space, right? The OpenAIs, the Microsofts, the Googles, the Metas, places that have tons of these chips are now, it's just going to spike like crazy. Or do you see this more as like a democratization where, look, if they have like the big dog chips, then maybe by definition, more of these other chips will become available. And maybe that actually spurs competition because I think, and I'll stop with this, but I think the whole thing about generative AI is that we're talking about companies, that are becoming like unicorn companies with pretty small teams. And so I'm wondering if this is more a story of, look at the technology spiking, or if it's more of a story of look at like the democratization of what this is going to do for all these other companies and how much competition this will eventually create, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So two things. First off, talking about the hockey stick you brought up, I keep thinking like, oh, there's no way NVIDIA can continue to like do this insane rise. If you look at their stock price, today they're up 3%. The last 5 days, they're up 4%. The last month, they're up 20%. 6 months, they're up 126%. And the last year, they're up 250%. But 3% today, like NVIDIA seems like this unstoppable. You talk about the hockey stick and like the compute getting better. You'll talk about the hockey stick of their stock price is insane. But okay, to your actual question, which is like, what are the implications of this? I think there's some big implications. If compute gets cheaper and it gets more efficient, and I wouldn't actually say cheaper, I guess more powerful is what I was going to say. So more powerful and more efficient. Eventually it will get cheaper because yeah, all the H100s will drop in price and people will be able to get those. Eventually the price comes down and this becomes more accessible for more people to essentially get these chips and this technology. What happens when more people get these chips and this technology, more AI models, more AI things come out. Like everyone, my assumption where this goes is every company will be training their own AI models for different things. You just will have an AI model. It's not this big fancy buzzword anymore. It's just like, yeah, everyone has like all the big, every big company has an app. Like, duh, every big company has like their AI model. Maybe it means that OpenAI won't be powering everything. Maybe Expedia is just going to have their own travel AI that they trained. Maybe they will piggyback off of the top one. So it's a little bit better or something. But like, do you really need like, you know, the top of the line GPT-4 to run an Expedia, you know, search engine model? Like, probably not. Like, they could probably just create something basic, grab something like Mistral, throw it in there and plug it into their API that accesses their flights. And now you can just get them pretty good results. Maybe you can make more innovative things with more powerful stuff. So that's going to be the conversation, kind of where this all goes. But where I really think this is going to go as these get more powerful and efficient and probably lowered in cost, I think we're just going to see a lot more AI models. There's going to be thousands, there's gonna be millions. So for me personally, this is the future I'm excited about. It feels more democratized. It's exciting for my platform AI Box because I don't want to just have, so AI Box, for those who don't know, it's a no code AI app builder and marketplace. You can tie together different AI models, throw your prompts in and kind of automate stuff you do. So I don't want a future where there's only like five AI models on my platform that you can link together. These are the top five. I want like 1,000. I want like, if you have a really great specialty or a unique data set that does something cool, I want you to train an AI model and get that thing on AI Box so that people can access it and you can make money from it. So that's the future that I'm really excited about and I envision. And this is what I'm seeing with kind of this trend we're seeing in the chips right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that when this is what's so interesting and exciting about NVIDIA, and you can kind of see, I mean, at some point their stock price, I mean, it has to level out, right? I mean, I'm going to sound like an idiot, like in a year or something like that. I mean, like, but I thought that about Amazon when it was at like $400 a share. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That aside, what is NVIDIA doing that others aren't doing? And I think they're sort of seeing the future. So they're, first of all, building Blackwell and they're building these new chips and everything else. But they're also already looking at like the humanoid robot thing. You probably see this sort of this like, you know, this Project Groot, which is aimed at sort of like robotics and embedding AI, you know, and foundational models and all that kind of stuff. And like, so that these robots can really learn the skills that robots actually need. So like, what's it called? Like dexterity and coordination and, you know, the ability to navigate and adapt and interact with essentially like the real world, right? And that's critical because, you know, the dexterity is sort of, these are sort of problems to solve, right? But the bigger the chip that we're going for, the quicker it's going to be that. And as soon as NVIDIA has now sort of like starting to focus their attention, which maybe they've been doing for years, I just haven't been tracking it. But on what it means to sort of like start moving humanoid robots, I think that we should be looking at this and looking at this in terms of, you know, maybe like pre-November 2022 when we're like, yeah, you know, ChatGPT is going to be able to do this. Like, it feels like this is the moment in a way. And it's sort of, we saw this as well with OpenAI and robotics and everything else. Like, all of a sudden, very quickly in a few weeks, we're seeing what robots are able to do as well, right? And sort of like what this means for just in terms of, you know, again, like humanoid robots. And the reason that I'm kind of like, you know, double clicking on this a little bit is that when we're thinking about AI applied and we're thinking about, you know, the future of, you know, what tasks, I don't say jobs because a job is just made up of tasks, but what tasks does this take? And there was this weird sort of moment where we realized, oh, the first tech is not going to take the plumbing jobs as we thought. It's actually going to take the white collar jobs. But okay, everybody go be a plumber because that's the safe thing. And now I'm looking at things like Project Groot, and I'm looking at, you know, what OpenAI is doing, you know, in partnering with some of these robotics companies as well. And I'm thinking, my gosh, like how naive are we going to sound in a, like, I don't think it's that long, like a year or 2 years or something like that, when these things can actually perform these tasks out in the real world and interact with better dexterity and everything else. And that's why when we see these, these huge, mega star, stadium filled things like cheering for this robot that's walking across the stage. Those used to just be like, Boston Robotics or whatever, demos. And now they're like, now people are seeing this, I think, and seeing like, this is actually going to take jobs. So when you sort of see those things, like the robotic side of this, and you think about sort of like even the near term future, like where does your head go around that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I think we're going to, if you track this topic, and for like listeners, we'll probably do like 10 episodes on this over the next year, because I think this is such a massive trend. But AI and robotics is going to be huge. AI and humanoid robots is going to be huge. I think the impact and implications, when you talk about like investing and stocks and stuff, when it's funny, there's kind of this meme where like I'll see like a post on X or whatever, and someone's like, they're like, hey, like this like rare cicada bug is gonna like be awake like this season for the first time in like 13 years. Like, should I be and it's gonna like mostly be in Illinois where all of 10% of America's corn is grown. Should I be like shorting corn futures right now because of this? And it's funny because everyone like in the comments is like, bro, this is already priced in. Like, Everything's already priced in. Okay, so the everything's already priced in is what I kind of feel about what I feel is not true with robotics. Okay. When people are like, we see this AI, we see this robotics, they're coming together, it's going to have major implications. I do not think this equation is priced into the economy, into the market, into our minds. I don't think people can even wrap their heads around what is happening. And they're like, well, it's not here yet. Well, like, okay, it is so here. It is like, it is happening very, very soon. The progress from NVIDIA, the progress from Tesla on their Optimus robot, and Amazon investing heavily into this, it is very here. I think I got to look at the stats, but Amazon, yeah, just recently bought tons of these robots that are doing all of their factory work too now. Yeah. So like, yeah, this is very massive. Once you start adding AI to these things, and you're going to have a robot that becomes a plumber or becomes an electrician, and you're going to just, you're going to hire like an electrical company, and it's going to be a robot that comes to your door and goes and fixes your light for you. Like, I don't think this equation is priced in. So yeah, I think there's a lot of insane disruption. We'll probably cover this a lot, but I think people should definitely be thinking about it, thinking about the implications, thinking about their industry, when you're planning your life out, like have that as something that you think about, because I think it's going to make some pretty crazy impacts, and we're going to see it like very, very mainstream within the next, I think, five to 10 years. I can confidently say I will probably own a humanoid robot.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I mean, it sounds like science fiction, everything like that. I did not think we were kind of getting close to that. But I mean, but when you're thinking about like, what are the big problems to solve? I mean, they already pretty much have the brain, they have the vision, they have the ability to talk. And we saw that in the OpenAI demos. And now we're sort of seeing that with Groot as well, around, actually being able to program more in there around dexterity. Like, that was always a big thing too. Like, right. Mm-hmm. Can it sort of like actually brute forcing something in an Amazon warehouse, that kind of makes sense. You can sort of see how that's going to replace things, but it's not even close what these Amazon warehouse robots can do in terms of what they can lift and how fast they can move. And the fact that they can work 24 hours a day and don't need healthcare and everything else. I mean, it's hard to imagine this not coming sooner rather than later. And so again, this isn't meant to be sort of like, a fear-mongering thing. It's just like with AI applied, we want people to kind of be thinking like, okay, this is where this is going. So what are the things that we actually really contribute? And, and you and I have talked about this a ton. It's, right now the data set that I sort of always encourage when I train companies, I always encourage them like, look, don't be getting rid of your people. Like, the most important data that they have is like in their own head. They know what quality looks like. They know sort of like all this great, great stuff that is just not available yet on something like a ChatGPT-4. You just can't do that, especially with hallucinations and everything else. Robots, though, are going to be doing a lot more, sort of blunt force kind of things that don't really need probably the level of intelligence as some other things. And boy, if they're this far advanced now, I'm just wondering sort of, you know, again, people are saying like, what do you think we're going to be in 2 years? I'm like, man, I don't know. But with robots, I think we're going to see a ton more of that.
Yeah, this is so fascinating. It's an exciting topic. We'll talk more about it for sure. But, you know, recapping, NVIDIA has some incredible new powerful chips coming out. They have work they're doing with AI and robotics. This is an amazing time to be alive. If anyone listening enjoyed the episode, we'd really, really appreciate it if you could drop us a review on Spotify. It is the About tab. You got to click that and then you can find the review spot. And on Apple Podcast, scroll down on our channel and leave us a comment. We'd love to hear from you guys. It helps us a ton when we're getting legendary guests. We got a ton more lined up that are exciting, and we've, you know, done some great ones in the past. So this helps us a lot. People look at reviews. And so, yeah, we really appreciate hearing from you. But we hope that you all have an amazing rest of your day.